You're listening to me, your lovable host, L. Rod, here on The Rod Eccles Show.
You want to know what time it is? It's time to bring the rain.
Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
To you, one and all, if you liberty lovers and ecclesiastites all around the globe, join me as we have coffee this morning. Yes, I'm enjoying this Pete's Dark Roast. Yeah, I don't buy Starbucks. Just wait, well, you don't have Starbucks? No, I don't buy Starbucks. There's Green Mountain Coffee is decent. Pete's is pretty decent. Military veteran coffee that you can get. I can't remember the name of it now. I haven't tried that one yet, but there is one. There's a local brand here, a couple of local brands, and one of them is, I think, is vet-owned. Again, I can't remember the names of these things off the top of my head. I mean, the grocery store shelves are loaded with coffee now. It's ridiculous. All the different brands. And Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts still have a majority of the shelf space, but there's other things like Pete's has shelf space, and Green Mountain Coffee, which is made in Vermont, has a lot of shelf space, and then there's other brands, and then there's the imported brands from Central America, and even a couple of brands that come directly from France. I mean, really? I know French is supposed, the French roast type of thing, dark roast. The French are supposed to be all that with coffee. You know what? The French are great with wine. I don't find French coffee to be all that fantastic. I'm just sorry. I know they're
How dare you talk about we are the best at making coffee?
No, you're not. Just saying. Look, remember, I've had coffee in France. Black Rifle Coffee. Yes, that's the veteran-owned. One of the veteran-owned coffee companies. I haven't tried that yet. It is on my bucket list for this year to order some, but I haven't gotten to it yet. So we will get to it before the holiday season that comes. And who knows? I might start if it's good enough, I might pass it out as gifts.
It is the end of August. Kids are back in school in most places in the country. So
the weather is starting to get a tad bit cooler. So September's around the corner, and before you know it, once we hit September, it's like we're off and running through the holidays. You go through, the whole Columbus Day weekend thing, and then you hit Halloween, and then it's Veterans Day and Thanksgiving, and then all hell breaks loose. And then you got Hanukkah and Christmas and Kwanzaa and New Year's, and then everybody's like passing out in January to rest up from the past 3 months or so. But that's the way, with me, that's the way it always works. I'm not a huge Halloween fan. I'm not. Well, as a kid, I loved it. Went around trick-or-treating, that kind of thing, dressed up. I'll still go to a costume party during the Halloween season. But it's not I'm not into all that, blood, gore, and evilness. I mean, honestly, that's what it is. It's a celebration of evil. I know everybody's trying to make it fun. Oh, but it's so much fun. Yeah, well, be careful with that. How many times have people, there are things I don't mess with, like Ouija boards. There are people that think Ouija boards are fun until they play with it and realize it's not so much fun. I can't tell you all the how many stories I've heard of people with Ouija boards when they were kids. They were playing it and stop moving it. I'm not moving it. You are moving it. And, you know, more than once have I heard the story where people have reported nobody's hands were on the board or on the Ouija little thing and it moved. There are some things you just don't mess with. Just saying. I have never played with that stupid Ouija thing because I've seen it in action myself as a kid. Now, you could say, well, you're a kid. You're easily scared. Well, maybe. But and maybe I've seen too many stupid movies. And again, for me, most horror movies are not, they're not scary. I often times have to prevent myself from laughing. Yeah, well, it's true because I don't find them scary. I find them stupid. Now, I find suspense and thrillers to be scary. You know, like The Exorcist? Well, that's not really a horror. Is that a horror movie, really? I don't think it's really classified as a horror. It's a thriller, right? Now, that kind of stuff can be scary. Movie back in the 80s, was 80, 88, 89, somewhere around there, with Martin Sheen in the lead. It was called Believers. Again, not a horror movie. But there was a tinge of believability about it. You know, but otherwise, I look at some horror movies. Some of them are classics, like Phantasm, the original one. With all its bad acting, sure, it's a B movie, but it was kind of intriguing. It was for a B movie, it was very good. It was a horror movie, but it really wasn't scary. And by the way, if you've ever seen Phantasm, you know the flying ball in the movie that has the spikes and a drill. Yeah, that's called, well, today we call that a flying drone. By the way, we have things like that now. Just so you know. And speaking of which, again, because I was on YouTube and BitChute last night, I saw, now I know they had been working on it. This French guy has one, and I think he's the first one that's really made it. There was also an American that was trying to do a version of this. Now, everybody knows the Green Goblin from Spider-Man. We now have it. And I guess it's for sale. And the dude, the French guy who's hitting the market first with this thing, and it's a beautiful little flying platform. That's what it is. It's a goblin platform. But instead of the Green Goblin, because he was dressed all in black, motorcycle garb, I call him the Black Goblin. I'm surprised how many people did not get the reference. Forget the Green Goblin, we got the Black Goblin now. People didn't get it. I'm like, really? Honestly? How many times have we just did the stupid Spider-Man movies with the Green Goblin in it? I mean, come on. Nobody gets it. Okay, fine. But this is what this thing looks like. The only thing it doesn't have is the wings that the Green Goblin hovercraft had. The dude was doing 100 miles an hour. They had looked like a Lamborghini, and the Lamborghini was, keeping up with him, and it was clocking in at 100 miles per hour. I'm like, oh yeah, I want one. So it's probably going to cost like 250 grand for one of these things, but I want one so bad. But he had it all figured out. And I know it takes some practice, going to take practice, but the way he was flying around this thing, it's a production model. It was a beautiful thing. I mean, flying over traffic. And you're not, other than having possibly helmet hair, from the motorcycle helmet, you get to work, man. No problem that you're not sweating because, you're not on a bicycle. You don't have to worry about any of that traffic. So you're flying above it. It was a beautiful thing. I love watching. And it was recently done. I guess they recently taped back in earlier this month. So this is now. So we've got a lot of things that used to be science fiction and in the realm of comic bookdom only is now reality. We used to have Tom Selleck movie where he was Gene Simmons was the villain, played the villain, and he made these little drones. They're kind of like spiders, and they'd inject people with acid and stuff and kill. They were assassin little drones. We got those. We have them now. All that stuff from back then, anything that was pretty much, you know, science fiction pre-1995, except for warp engines, we pretty much got. And much of it is mainstream. I keep reminding people about this, and they don't believe me. Oh, remember back in the 80s when Captain Picard used to have a tablet? And he'd you know, you ever go behind the scenes, watch some of the behind the scenes shows, and they show the prop, didn't work. Tablet prop, didn't work. What do we got now? We got tablets. And not only do we have useful tablets that do everything, we have tablets that are dedicated to do what? Like Kindles, just read books. We got tablets that are being used in medical facilities. Didn't they use tablets in sick bay? Yeah, they did in Star Trek. We have all that stuff today. The supercomputer of the Enterprise, of the latest Enterprise, what it had like 2 terabytes of memory or something like that. We've got computers that are bigger and faster than the Enterprise today. So I mean, this is science fiction is becoming science reality so fast. Well, we still don't have a data. Oh, we're getting very damn close to it. Have anybody seen the latest robots that are being made in Japan and up here in the Northeast? Oh, scary. And they're working on and cracking the code to artificial intelligence on a daily basis. A data-like android is not too far off, folks. Just say, you got to keep abreast in this kind of stuff. So when people talk about all this stuff about being tracked and traced and followed, and they think, oh, this is stuff of science, you know, science fiction and spy movie. No, it's not. It's everyday stuff. It's off the, if we still had Radio Shack, and that's the worst part about Radio Shack, not paying attention to modern, an electronics company, you're always on the cutting edge of everything, didn't pay attention to the most important thing, and that's the internet. Didn't pay attention to it. It is a sad fact that we don't have Radio Shacks anymore. Honestly, really, it really is. Because a lot of tinkerers would just go to Radio Shack and buy all kinds of little stuff that you can get. You know, you could build your own computer just by shopping at Radio Shack. People would just walk into Radio Shack and buy, you know, all kinds of weird, discombobulated stuff, and they'd create all kinds of things out of that stuff. It was a laboratory's, you know, a laboratory supermarket for nerds and geeks. If you're looking for something that is relatively within the electronics realm, you couldn't find it anywhere, Radio Shack. Yeah, Radio Shack will have it, and you walk in. You ask for, you know, you don't know the name of it. You describe it. The guy behind the counter, yeah, we got it over there in aisle 2, you know, right here. Let me show you. And they go right to it. This is what you're looking for? Yeah, that's what I want. I miss Radio Shack just for that. Honestly. I know a lot of people, well, you can get all that stuff on you know, eBay and Amazon. Yeah, but you got to know what you're looking for. That's the other problem with only shopping online. You got to know what you're looking for. You know, you can go, you used to be able to just walk into Radio Shack and just browse the aisles and look, oh, that looks cool. What does that do? And you read the description, you go, yo, yeah, that'd be cool. It's not easy to do that online. You got to know what you're looking for. Yeah, you can find it, but you got to know what you, how do you get, you know, what you're looking for when you don't really know exactly what you're looking for online? It's not that easy. Any case, here it is Tuesday, folks. Tuesday, August number 21 in the year of our Lord 2018, as we continue with hour number 2 here. And yeah, there are, thanks, Tom, there are Black Rifle Coffee Company, blackriflecoffee.com is probably one of the more prominent vet-owned coffee manufacturers, brewers, I guess if you want to call them that, out there. I know I've heard them on national radio, like I think they've advertised on Limbaugh's show, on Hannity, on I think they've advertised on Levin a couple of times. I catch Levin, But there are many more. Like I said, there's probably a local one around you. Excuse me, that maybe only sells regionally. It's not easy to get. There are certain food groups that are not easy to get national distribution for, because the market is so crowded. Believe it or not, coffee is one of them. It is not. I don't care how good your coffee is. It is not easy to get national distribution of a coffee because the market is so crowded. It's unbelievably crowded. It's an amazing thing, actually. Now, we are spoiled. And you add to that the internet, and the coffee industry gets it hasn't even reached a saturation point yet. That's the amazing part about it. I mean, coffee shops are still springing up all over the place. You know, Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts and Tom Hortons or Tim Hortons and even Krispy Kreme is making a comeback. Plus, you get all the mom and pop coffee shops that aren't going anywhere. They're still popping up and still surviving amongst all the big giants. It's coffee is a, if you hit the right note, you can do pretty well. But it's an amazingly crowded space. So you got to have, if you want to, you know, make any sort of waves in the coffee industry, you've got to come up with a hook or make something different about it, because it is so crowded. And, you know, you buy the bag of coffee beans, a small bag, you could probably try a different coffee every week and not repeat the same one twice, not even the same brand. You could probably drink a different coffee brand every day and not repeat. That's how crowded the space is. And then you start tossing in, and that's just with domestic made or manufactured coffee. You start bringing in the foreign brands. Oh, good God, you can go a few years without having to drink the same one twice, same brand. Not just go from, you know, take one brand and drink all their different flavors, but I mean go brand to brand to brand and not drink the same brand twice. It's an amazingly tough field, but Black Rifle Coffee is a vet-owned. I hear lots of good things about it. I haven't had the chance to try it yet, but I will before the. I recommend. I have had. Man, I can't. Somebody gave me this. It is a New England-based coffee maker, and it was actually pretty good, but it was from a vet-owned. It's a vet-owned company here in New England. I've got to go find it again because it was pretty. Somebody gave it to me. I didn't buy it. Somebody gave me a sample, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And it's not in the grocery store. It's in specialty shops, which is why I haven't, you know, because I don't do a lot of shopping in these specialty stores. They don't really have what I want, so why would I walk into them? But in any case, I have to go find this. I think there's a right in downtown Concord and on Elm Street in Manchester. There's a couple of stores that actually sell it from what I'm told. So I'll have to go check them out, see if they have it. And I can't remember that. I'm going to have to go ask my buddy who gave it to me and get him to remind me. If I see the package, I'll remember it. But the name escapes me at the moment. But when I remember the name, I will share it with you. But then I think it's only a New England thing. So if you're not New England, you may not be able to get it. I don't know if they have a website. Believe it or not, not every company has a website. I told you about my friend who's next to to my cigar shop. He's got a hobby store. Doesn't have a website. But man, does this guy do some buku bucks. Because he's not rich. And the store that he's in, it's a fairly large store, and rent is not cheap. So he's nearing retirement. He's in his 60s, so he's not just, you know, willing to pay out of his ass just to have a hobby store. Just saying. And he seems to be doing quite well without having a website. Go figure. Not everything is online today. Believe it or not. Here's a story that has to do with Monsanto. You know, I am not one of those anti-chemical people. Although, I do believe that there are plenty of alternatives to the dangerous chemicals that we use for a lot of different things. And that there are some chemical companies that really are probably pretty close to the evilness that some leftists say they are. Now, I believe Monsanto to be one of them. Monsanto has done a lot. Monsanto has been slapped by various governments around the world numerous times for their practices, for their products. Monsanto has been at the base of many a different lawsuit on many different occasions for many different things in many different countries. Monsanto has been, some Monsanto products like Roundup has been banned in a lot of foreign countries. Not here. Much of Europe, both Eastern and Western Europe, especially Eastern Europe, has banned Monsanto's Roundup. The version that we know of. They banned it. There are Asian countries. Strictly like in Vietnam, Thailand, in China, certain types of Monsanto products and chemicals cannot be used in rice fields. Banned. So you got to wonder what the hell is going on with Monsanto. Why can't they? You know, they're probably the single most sued chemical company on the planet. Now, if other companies can do good with manufactured chemicals, why is Monsanto the one that keeps getting hammered? Well, here's a story. Man dying of cancer says the $289 million Monsanto verdict is not in vain. A man who won a landmark lawsuit against the agricultural giant of Monsanto is speaking out for the first time. He was actually on CBS This Morning. Monsanto was ordered to pay him $289 million in damages to a former school groundskeeper, Dwayne Lee Johnson. A jury found the company's widely used glyphosate-based weed killer was a substantial factor in causing Johnson's rare cancer. Now, there are many people that have sued Monsanto over its Roundup brand of products. I don't use it. As a matter of fact, that's one of the things that I saw plenty of on my YouTube BitChute travels last night. How to get rid of anthills, especially fire ants, naturally. You got some idiot that was running around making molds. He'd pour, you know, melted liquid aluminum down anthills and letting it cool and then digging it up. And yeah, that's really cool. But, you know, you don't want to do all, I guess it's one way to kill fire ants is to burn them to death with molten metal. You know, other people use all other kinds of natural things like vinegar and baking soda combination. Yeah, that's pretty deadly for ants. And then somebody was using, now I do not recommend this. You got to be very careful with this. And they were using it to get rid of more than just ants. Because they'd pour it down bigger holes, you know, rodent holes. They poured bleach down and then ammonia. Yeah, you know what happens. I mean, even the dumbest kid in chemistry class knows what happens when you combine bleach and ammonia. Yeah. So they're a nice little gas, poisonous gas underground. And, well, it works. It is a more natural type of thing, believe it or not, but it's not something I would recommend. But in any case, this guy wins a $289 million verdict. Look, I think if there is a good natural alternative to a chemical, try that first. If that doesn't work, then go tougher with some of the chemicals. $289 million?
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide, plus what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Things about Monsanto, and I know a lot of people will say that, well, because it's such a large conglomerate. Well, there are a lot of companies that are as large or larger than Monsanto that are not sued nearly as often as Monsanto is. And even if you take it by a per capita basis, or you know, averaging out per dollar of income, it's one of the most sued companies in the country. And you get, well, is the industry they're in, really? Well, S.C. Johnson, you know, Johnson Wax, Pledge, that's a chemical company, believe it or not. You know, all those cleaning products are chemicals. They're not sued nearly anywhere near as often as Monsanto is. And you would be surprised at all the brands that's under the S.C. Johnson house. Under their roof, there's products that you would think that you would be surprised to find out that, which is why in their commercials now, a lot of times, because S.C. Johnson understands this, that you'll see them say at the end of the commercial, S.C., you know, a member of the S.C. Johnson family, family-owned business, family-owned company, whatever. They're starting to tag their products now more prominently because people just don't know. They're shocked. That's S.C. Johnson? Yeah. They're bigger than you think. A lot of people think it's just this little company, little, you know, cleaning company out of Ohio. No, it's an international conglomerate. They sell their products all over the planet, basically. But they don't get sued nearly, anywhere near the rate that Monsanto gets sued. And Monsanto is just not in agriculture, by the way. You know, everybody thinks, well, it's because, you know, they do everything with food. No, they're not just in agriculture. Speaking of, you know, so there are some alternatives to this stuff. It's pretty cheap and pretty natural and pretty benign to human beings. You know, you can get rid of ants and a couple of other creepy crawly things pretty easily using, you know, things, a combination of sugar, baking soda, cornstarch, baking powder, borax, that type of thing. But if you're looking for a weed killer, believe it or not, there's an awesome one that you can mix right in your own kitchen. And you can control the strength of it very easily. Because, you know, general weed killing, if you want to get weeds between the cracks of your sidewalks or something, it doesn't really take a very strong mixture of this. But there are other weeds that may take something a little bit stronger. And basically, you just take vinegar and water. Add salt and a little bit of dish detergent, preferably Dawn. Now, it's amazing how fast it works. Within it, depending on how, now if you most places you'll see they'll say mix it up in a gallon. Use a half gallon of vinegar, half gallon of water, one to two cups of salt, and a couple of squirts of Dawn dish detergent, shake it up and go spray it on the leaves down into around the root ball of the plant. And within a day, it's dead. And the best time to do it is on a sunny day. That's true, because it'll just burn. And why the dish detergent? Because it causes the mixture to stick to the leaves. The other thing, if you want to get rid of creepy crawler things keeping out of your house or kill them in your house, there is a couple of mixtures that you can try that work. Again, you know, you got to use a little bit of Dawn in it. Now, why Dawn? Because Dawn is really a benign dishwashing soap. I don't know why that is, but it is. I mean, and a lot of times people don't recommend, you know, these so-called natural dish detergents. Use Dawn. It's a safe bet. And it doesn't take much. You don't want a foamy mess. So you got a gallon just to squirt, you know, a quick little dab in it is all you need. It works very well. But and it comes off cleanly. It doesn't leave a residue or anything like that behind. So that, again, that's probably why they also recommend Dawn. But if you want to get rid of like spiders and stuff, natural, you just take some, you know, red pepper flakes. You take a half a cup. You boil it in water and let it steep for a day, overnight. You filter, drain out, you know, the flakes. And you add a little, you pour it into your little spray bottle, fill it up with water. I think this is a 50-50 mixture is what they say. 50 of your little red pepper tea. And a little squirt of Dawn. And you spray it around where you have these things. And it will kill spiders and ants and create a barrier they won't cross. And you don't really smell it either. Now, you use other chemicals sometimes at these home defense barrier types of things, and they have a smell to them, and or they leave a residue. Now, this obviously evidently doesn't. And again, you can control the strength of this by how much of the tea versus water that you use. Now, others suggest that you use something like a peppermint extract. I don't know if that works as well as the red pepper, but sure, you have to make it instead of go out and buy it, but it sits just and keeps just like anything else does. So you could make a spray bottle's worth and keep it around for months and months and months. It doesn't seem to lose its effectiveness over time. Although sometimes these chemicals have an expiration date on them. And people don't know that until after they go and use it and wonder why it doesn't work. Now, when it comes to dangerous insects like hornets and stuff, I don't know how well that or how fast that stuff works. So, yeah, go ahead and use the chemical when it comes to something really dangerous like that. But for basic stuff, there are easy homemade remedies that are cheap, cost you pennies to use, doesn't do you, your pets, or your family any damage. Don't have to worry about it. You know, the dog can go out and... if you've got too many bugs in your lawn, what you do if you're putting down use a natural fertilizer, mix borax in there. Believe it or not, borax is a good cutting down on the insects in your lawn, like grubs and other things. If you got too many crickets. Borax seems to work. When you feed your lawn, mix in some borax and go feed your lawn. It is suggested you don't use the liquid version of fertilizer and put borax in the liquid. It doesn't work as well, and it foams up too much, I guess. So and if you don't put too much in, then your lawn is not going to foam up. No, it's a natural product. Your pets can go running around and, you know, all that kind of stuff in it. It's a safe alternative. Now, does it work as well as some of these chemicals? No, you probably have to do multiple applications versus a strong chemical. But then again, you're talking about something that is benign. It isn't going to do a lot. It isn't going to kill everything. It isn't going to harm some creatures. You put down a poisonous chemical, and you got the potential of killing everything that comes into contact with it. So there are lots of alternatives. And this is what these natural things are what what farmers and gardeners have used way before the 40s and 50s, when the chemical stuff started to proliferate. Well, because we had all these chemical plants that geared up for war, and they wanted to keep making money, so they had to turn these chemical wartime products, chemicals, into something that was more benign that could be used in the home. And that's in the 50s we saw, you know, proliferation of these chemical cleaners and insecticides and stuff. I need to try some of the alternatives. If they don't work for you, then go for the chemicals. I bet if you do it right and it's not hard, you can find all kinds of YouTube and BitChute videos on different types of alternatives and how to make them. And they don't take a lot of time. At most, you may have to boil something and let it sit and steep overnight. Ooh. But that's it. Just saying. If you want something more natural, try that. Now, I'm not against chemicals. Now, don't. I know people are going to say, well, geez, you're one of those anti-chemicals. No, I'm not against chemicals. They have their usefulness. But I do believe that some chemicals are too dangerous to use, and in a lot of cases, we overuse them. It's kind of like penicillin. Now the medical community, seems like every month we're seeing a report that, you know, some disease that penicillin once killed almost immediately is now turning into a super virus, and penicillin is having a tough time controlling it. Because we overuse it. And then when we overuse it, we don't use it properly. And we do that all the time. People take, the doctor prescribes a certain type of biologic, antibiotic, and the doctor always says, and the pharmacist always says, make sure you take all of them. And what happens is that people feel better after a certain period of time, and they don't take the rest of the, sometimes you get people leave behind a half a bottle. Well, you know what? That doesn't kill everything, and it allows that particular bacteria or that particular biologic to build up a defense. It's kind of like when you get an immunization shot, that's what it's like when you don't take it all. They're not prescribing these pills just to poison you or to cause you to pay more. There's a reason behind it. Because they want to make sure that at least 99% of the stuff that's within you that they want to get rid of is killed by this particular medicine. If you don't take it to its completion, you're now you're giving the living bacteria or virus an inoculation, an immunization, if you will. And it reproduces and it spreads from human to human, and it turns out to be what we call a super, bacteria or super virus, because it becomes resistant or even completely immune to drugs that should kill it. So it's our own damn fault, really, because we don't follow directions or instructions on this stuff a lot. And people tend to if just a little bit's good, then, if I spray a little bit here, maybe if I just spread the whole damn can in this one corner, it'll be really great. No, that's a bad idea. Follow directions. A lot of times when it comes to this chemical stuff, it isn't the chemical company's fault. It really isn't. I'm not saying Monsanto is so totally evil that everything they put out there is just bad, bad, bad. A lot of times it's just user error because they failed to read the directions and follow it. So we do that all the time, and then we want to blame somebody else for it. Well, follow the directions to the letter. Don't be lazy. Problem is that we just tend to get lazy. We just want things to work now, and we don't really care about how. We just want it to work. And so we over or underuse stuff, and then things become, we either get affected by the overuse or we underuse it, and the thing that we're supposed to be killing, we just end up inoculating it so it becomes resistant or immune to it next time. And if something becomes resistant to it, what do you got to use? More. Right? So if you're trying to get rid of, like, say, a hornet's nest, and they say use until the hornet's nest appears to be saturated, then don't just give it a spray or two. Do what the directions say. Saturate it. You know, I had a neighbor like that once. He's like, this anti-hornet stuff, it doesn't work. What do you mean? I've used it. It works fine. He says, really? Watch. Come here. And he would take me, and he'd go, and he'd spray it, and it'd be like 2 seconds worth. And he'll say, watch, it'll come out. See, they're not dead. I said, dude, did you read the directions? What do you mean? You just spray it. No, you got to saturate the damn hive, you idiot. You can't spray the outside and expect it to kill everything inside. Ugh. Again, this is just because people do not follow directions. Just saying. It's slow news day. Man, I'm getting off on a tangent on so many different things this morning. Let's see if we can get back on track here really quick. This whole Me Too movement is being shaken up because one of its founding members, evidently, is now being investigated. Yes, Asia, I brought you this story yesterday. Well, today there's a follow-up. Evidently, detectives are looking into the allegations that Asia Argento sexually abused Jimmy Bennett when he was 17. Now, if you saw Jimmy Bennett's, maybe you don't recognize the name, but if you saw a picture of Jimmy Bennett, you would recognize him. He's, as a child and teen actor, he's been in quite a bit. Actually, he's been very active. So you've probably seen him either in the movies or on television. And because he's been in a lot of various different roles that, you know, kids can get. But evidently he reported, now I don't know if he's pressing charges, but evidently it came out that he was basically, you know, statutory rape style. And you know, he's been talking about it. He said it left him shaken. He said I was kind of depressed for a little while after that. So it's not as if he wanted it. But it doesn't matter. He was 17. She was 37 at the time of the alleged incident. Now, remember, this is one of the first females out there, big Hollywood actresses, that came out against Harvey Weinstein. And that's how this whole Me Too hashtag thing got started. Well, now there's a new hashtag out there called She Too. And it's strictly because of her. And I've often said, you know, and she's a big leftist, by the way. She's a feminazi leftist. Now, frankly, if you want to judge, it's not about somebody's looks. Now, as a kid, was Jimmy Bennett an ugly kid? No. Was he a teen heartthrob or teen idol? No, he was not. So what was it about him? I don't know. People ask me all the time about this kind of stuff. It isn't about strictly on outward appearance. A lot of times, it's just their personality that gets. You ever get attracted to somebody simply because of their personality? Yeah, you might say, well, yeah, you know, somebody talks about a particular friend of theirs, and they always constantly use a term like things like adorable. Well, they don't mean that they're beautiful, you know. Physical appearance wise, they may be and they may not be, but it's their personality that attracts them to these people. And we use terms like, oh, they're adorable because of their personality. Believe it or not, your personality attracts people a lot more than your looks do. Now, your looks may get you attention, but as far as attracting people to you, it's that personality that becomes a magnet. Because you might not be all that, you might not be beautiful, but you will probably have more friends and more suitors if you have a very attractive personality than the person that you hang out with that's at, you know, drop dead gorgeous. Because their personality sucks. So maybe that's what, I don't know what the kid was like. I don't know what his personality's like. I've never even heard him in an interview. I don't, other than seeing him in a couple of, you know, TV shows or movies, I don't know what, I didn't recognize the name until I saw the picture. Like, who the hell is Jimmy Bennett? Oh, I know him after I saw his picture. Yeah, I've seen him before. Okay. He's not ugly. He's not gorgeous, I guess. Oh, maybe girls find him gorgeous. I don't know. But in any case, evidently, she found him irresistible when he was only 17 in a hotel room. Now, there is plausibility behind this simply because of the time of the so-called alleged incident or attack. They were in a hotel, of which, on both of their Facebook pages, evidently, there are pictures of them in selfies in the hotel and in the hotel room. And so, yeah, we're talking 2013 here. I get it. Yes, when he was set, because what is he now? He's like 22 or something. Detectives are looking into allegations that she sexually abused this teen. Now, I don't know if it was just a one-time encounter, but evidently she gave the kid, or she paid him, $380,000 in the months after she publicly accused Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein of sexually assaulting her in California when she was trying to get her American career going. Now, remember, in California, the age of consent is 18, so therefore he was still a sexual minor, and he is now 22. And the worst part is that she co-starred with Jimmy Bennett when the kid was like six or so, when back in 2004. How do you do that? Bennett played her son in the movie. I mean, that's just some sick people right there. But now there's Breitbart's got this story. She too, street artist Sabo, or is it Sabo? S-A-B-O. Targets actress Asia Argento, or, you know, it's Italian, Argento, however you put the Italian emphasis on it, with She Too, hashtag She Too posters. Instead of Me Too, it's She Too. So the Los Angeles-based street artist Sabo has lampooned the embattled actress Asia Argento with large posters of the Me Too leader flipping the bird with the hashtag She Too covering her eyes. And I have often said, whenever you hear or see a leftist scream about some so-called injustice, most likely it is because they are or have engaged in said injustice. And the louder they usually scream, the more guilty they usually are. Now, she was one of the first to stand up and say, this guy, Harvey Weinstein, is a jerk. He's a predator. And she said it in the beginning. She was one of the loudest advocates of the Me Too movement. Come to find out, she's a perpetrator herself. Allegedly. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think that you pay somebody $380,000 for nothing. Now, are we absolutely positive this is what happened and that the $380,000 was hush money? An investigation has to be done in order to prove it or disprove it. I get it. But how do you even put yourself in that kind of a position? How is it you're taking selfies with a minor child in your hotel room? Evidently, nobody else was around. And the details that Jimmy Bennett has said so far matches up with some pictures that are out there. So is it a credible accusation? I'm going to say yeah, and it's so credible that even though nobody has lodged a formal complaint or is trying to press charges, Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department finds the initial allegations credible enough that they are doing a full investigation. They started without the players. And you're probably thinking, well, how can they do that? Well, because a minor was involved and it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. So there you go. Another leftist who screamed loudly about other people doing things, and she is evidently being caught up doing what she's accusing other people of doing. Happens all the time when it comes from the left. See, I told you people to don't doubt me.
You're listening to The Rod Eccles Show. Let truth be told.
See that cute little dog in the pet store window? Chances are it came from a puppy mill, a breeding facility that forces caged, neglected,